All right, Luke chapter 8, and last time we came down to verse 35, and so we begin there. Let's read 35, 36, and 37, just as a background. Starting with 35 of chapter 8 of Luke. Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus, and found the man, out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means that he was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear, and he went up into the ship and returned back again. All right, what had happened to this man in verse 35 before the Lord got a hold of him? What was his problem?
Full of devils.
Full of devils, possessed with devils. And the Lord cast him out. And what was his condition, for instance, up in the earlier verses there?
Well, they couldn't even chain him
on here. Oh, they couldn't chain him? All right.
He went among the graves.
The graves and the tombs, verse 27. All right.
Did he cut himself? Was he the one that cut himself?
Not in this gospel, but he may have been the same one that cut himself. What else was true of him in verse 27? What else was true?
He was naked.
He was naked, had no clothes. So just like the trend of the times, he would be right in vogue with some of the people today, the way they don't have any clothes on, or very few clothes. But then in verse 35, when the Lord Jesus had cast out the devils, where did he cast out the devils? Where did the devils go?
Into the swine.
Into the swine. And then where did the swine go?
Over the cliff
into the water and drowned themselves.
Did we say that was the Sea of Galilee?
Probably the Sea of Galilee. Probably up in the Sea of Galilee up there. That's right. So when he was delivered from these devils, were the people that fed them, verse 34, were they happy about it?
No.
They said,
lost their
livelihood and income, and so they just went ahead and said, get out of here. And then we're down to verse 35. Now, what was happened to the man once he was delivered of these devils and devils left him? Was he different, same man as he was before?
He was clothed. He was in his right mind.
His right mind. Where was he sitting?
Feet of
Jesus. He was wanting to know what the Lord Jesus would have him to do. He was a pupil, wasn't he? And that was great. The clothes came back on, his mind came back, and his right mind. And what was the reaction of the crowd when they saw what happened in verse 35?
They were afraid.
Why do you suppose they were afraid? That's true, they were. Why do you suppose?
Well, they didn't know, completely understand what had happened.
All right.
They could, as far as they're concerned, it could have been a devil, it could have been anything that did it, and they didn't understand. It was pure ignorance.
Yes. It was almost impossible, wasn't it? For here, a man, a crazy man, to possess the devils, wild, chains couldn't hold him, unclothed, all of a sudden, sitting, clothed, right mind, and sitting at the feet of Jesus. Absolutely amazing. Now, that's the story of any of us who are redeemed from the old life. People look at us and say, what has happened to that woman? What's happened to that man? See, the Lord is able to deliver us. Certainly not this grave a situation, but certainly something like that. People should marvel. But they were afraid. And then, in verse 36, did anybody know what happened to the man? Yes, I know. Hi, Joanne.
Hi, Joanne.
All right, because... Yeah. Okay. All right, so we got two on that side and two on that. That's fine. So we'll be able to see both from time to time. So what did somebody see what happened in verse 36? Yeah, Vaughn, you have something to say. Luke 8, 36.
How they were so afraid because they were used to seeing him crazy, and when his life was changed, this upset them in different ways. And I'm thinking of, remember Mr. Campbell in our church there?
Yes.
And he was a drunk, mm-hmm. and he got saved, and his life was so changed, and his wife didn't like him this new way. She wasn't a Christian.
That's right.
And she didn't like him a drunkard either, but she didn't like this new way. She preferred him the old way, I guess.
Yes. Yes, she did.
Out, but that was interesting. And I thought how these were so afraid.
Yes. People, a lot of times, come on in. There's a girl over there. Have her open the door. She doesn't know whether this is the right house or something.
Maybe she's selling cookies or something.
She's looking for another refreshment. I thought she was coming to the Bible study. So, well, thank you, Trish. She's looking for something else?
Yes, a baby shower.
A baby shower. Oh. We don't have any babies right now.
We don't have any baby showers.
No.
Not today.
Not today. So this, they're afraid that it was amazing. It's just like when a friend of mine, who was a pastor, Lynn Rogers, he knew that I, before I was saved, had a big dance band, 15-piece dance orchestra. It's the weight band, dance band. And I played all over the school, different schools, so on. And he was a Christian. Then he went to Fairview, didn't he, Bob? Was it Fairview? Westlake.
Dover
High School, whatever. And we go out to different places and play with this dance band, all kinds of dances and so on and so forth, before I was a Christian. And then he, who was a saved person, who was not separated, he was a worldly Christian, he went to a dance at his own school, and there was the orchestra, there was the big name Wade, right on the drums and the whole, all the stands and so on. But where was Wade? Wade was gone. He saw the difference. And I didn't know that for 20 or 30 years later that he observed that, but I think that shook him up a little bit, and he got back into the fellowship of the Lord. Here's a guy, something happened to Wade. Wade was saved, and the dance band went.
And they said, where's Wade?
Where's Wade? Here's this battle. Where's Wade? That's just all the instruments and the music. I tell you, I didn't want any more of it. But, I mean, there's a difference. I remember going back to where was our 50th, the 55th, not wedding anniversary, but class reunion. 50th, the 55th. I remember Dick Gallitzer, who was in the very room, the music room, where I got saved as a high school senior. And Uncle Charlie led me to the Lord. And he was there when I went out to the hall to meet Uncle Charlie. He was in there eating lunch with us. And I went out, and Charlie led me to the Lord. But anyhow, that same Dick Gallitzer says, you know, I know what happened to you in high school, but you're not here 50-some years later, and you're still the same. You still love Christ. Why shouldn't we love Christ? Why? There's a change when the high school seniors knew it. The whole thing was a different situation. This man was different. Well, I don't want to talk about myself, but, I mean, these are some of the things that people realize. Now, they saw what was done. And this people had seen it in verse 36. They also which saw it told them. By what means? Why do you suppose they told them? Why do you suppose those who had seen this miracle told others?
I mean, they were so excited. You know,
yes.
From insanity and, you know, casting yourself out and
right.
Being chained up and then
yes.
Being chained.
Naked, no clothes.
All that torment that he must have been going through
yes.
During that time. And then
right.
Totally changed.
Amen. And so they told others. Now, should we tell others about our Savior?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and what He's done for us. See, they saw it, and they told what was done. That's an amazing thing, but that's so true. And by what means? He that was possessed the devil was it. What was the means? What was the means? The Lord Jesus was the means, wasn't He? He who made... Well, he just bid the devils to go in verse number... What number was that? The verse... What's thy name? Legion. And they besought him, they were going to the deep, and it was a heard this man. And he suffered them. He allowed them in verse 32. He permitted. He let the devils go into the swine. So it didn't say what he did, but I'm sure he just...
29 says he commanded.
Oh, okay. All right, he commanded the unclean spirit to come out. Oh, that's good. Okay, to come out, that's right. Then where they went, that was a different one. Yeah, he commanded. That's good. Thank you, Joanne. Verse 29, he commanded the unclean spirit to come out. So that was how he did it. And so they talked about this. They saw how he was healed. And then in verse 37, what was the reaction of the crowd once they knew that Jesus was the culprit that got rid of their swine? What was the reaction of the whole town? Did they like it? Were they glad the man was delivered from his devils?
They
had fear. What else? In verse 37.
And they wanted to leave.
They wanted to leave. They decided to depart from them. Now, if he was such a wonderful person, that this man that was unclothed and was crazy and had the devils in him, was sitting at Jesus' feet listening probably to him teach, why wouldn't these people do the same for the Lord? They were afraid, or as one thing, what else?
They didn't understand.
They didn't understand, and what was possibly their main trade?
They raised pigs.
They raised pigs, probably. They were pig herders, hog herders, H.H. So they just besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. I don't know why there was such a fear. Here was a miraculous thing done, and They should be so happy. And did the Lord leave, or did he say, no, I'm going to stay? Verse 37. He departed and returned back into the ship and returned back again, probably in the Sea of Galilee. Well, let's read verse 38, 9, and 40 together. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Verse 40. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. All right, so in verse 38, what did the man want to do? Now, the crowd of Gergesenes wanted to leave town. What did the man want to do?
The man wanted to go with Jesus.
Wanted to go with Jesus. He wanted to be a missionary. He wanted to travel with him, one of the disciples, and so on. He was really wanted to do it. He wanted to be with him, see? He loved him. He was grateful for him, wasn't he? And that's what we should do. We should want to be with him. We should be grateful to him. We should want to love him and to go wherever he wants us to go. What did the Lord say to him in verse 39? Did the Lord agree that he should come and be with him as exhibit A?
He wanted to be a missionary, but his own town and city where he was.
All right.
He didn't want to leave that area. He wanted to be there and tell people, which he did.
Which he did, for public city. He wanted to stay right there in the city. So let me ask you this question. What is missions? And where are missions?
Any place.
All right. Could be home, could be abroad, any place. See? Sending the gospel. And so here is a home missions project, wasn't it? And what was he to do? He was to stay, and what was he to do?
Turn and publish. Go to the publishing business.
To their own house and publish, all right. what does he sort of show or publish about?
His testimony.
But great things what? God hath done. Now, notice what God had done. And what did he say in verse 39? What did he tell them? How great things? But what did he say? What great things? Yes, but the last part of the verse? What things Jesus had done. Is Jesus God? Yes, he is. So you see, God the Son of God, he's perfect deity. So God did this. God, the Son of God, right there on earth, made this miracle possible. And he was told to tell what had been done to him, and he told. Isn't that what you and I must do with people that wonder what is done for us? Mm-hmm. We tell them why. People say, why did this happen? Tell them. Why did that happen? Tell them. What happened to you? Why are you saved? Are you saved? Are you born again? Are you a Christian? Told how great things. Did the man that had the devils cleansed from him think that this was just a simple thing? It was a great thing. And any redemption of any of us is a great thing, is it not? Not a little tiny thing. Now, are there differences in sinners? Are there differences in sinners as far as the extent of their sins? Yes, there are. Are there sinners that are down and out? And there are sinners that are up and out? So they're all branches in between. Well,
well, in God's eyes.
In God's eyes,
they're all dead and out.
All dead and all. No, that's right. They're all sinners. They're all the same. But in man's eyes, some are down and out and dirty and filthy and scummy and diseased. And others are bankers and teachers and everything. They're up and out.
Especially the teachers with the children.
Yeah, teachers with the children. See? But they're still out. Yeah, these women with the boys, 13-year-old boys, and the men with their... all different filthy things. Yes, Joanne had something.
Well, I was going to say, but this, God realizes this, because in the parable that Jesus gave, he said that the one that had more to forgive.
Yes.
Going
to love him more.
Right.
That's right.
So he knows that the more sinful we are.
Yes, the more we have to thank him. Praise God for all you've done for me.
Yeah.
I've been wicked, I've been horrible, and you forgave me. Thank you, Lord. The more sin, the greater the appreciation. I mean, if somebody gets you out of debt when you owe $1 million, you have one area of gratitude. If somebody gets you out of debt when you owe $10,000, you have another area. You're both grateful. Mm-hmm. I don't go on anything but it being a debt for $1 million. But suppose you were, see? The amount of gratitude for the million versus the 10,000, it'd be a great deal more, wouldn't it? And so this is the way. But as far as God is concerned, what does Romans 3:23 say? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if you're jumping between two buildings, as I said many times before, and the building are 10 feet apart, and you jump 9 foot 6 inches, and the other person jumps 5 feet, both miss. Come short of the glory of God. Who is the only one that can make us fit for the glory of God? The Lord Jesus Christ, dying for the sinners of the whole world. By faith in Him we can be made righteous. And so he went and told the great things that Jesus had done for him. Now in verse 40, and to the end of the chapter, here's a woman that Jairus' daughter that's raised. And we take a look at the background of this. Now verse 40, they kicked Jesus out of town. Yes,
the other day, before we move on, when we were listening to one of your tapes or something, we listened to something on radio when we were driving along, and I said, how glad I was that I mean, it's good to be forgiven, but I'm so glad I don't have all that in my background.
Yes, it's good.
You know, I'm so glad that I'm forgiven.
Yes, amen.
I'm so glad that I don't have all that to remember. Because it must be hard when you have that. Even though Jesus forgives you, you have that, and that all comes back at you,
yes.
I suppose.
So it's not...
Not that I'm perfect, and not that I'm not a sinner, but I... You know what I'm trying to say.
You're not getting the audience here. The videographer's not getting you talking, see? I want them to see what you're talking about. Okay. All right. So, yes, you're right. In other words, the people that testify and give testimonies, Dan, it's the other one that's on, though, Dan. It's not that one. That's the one. Okay. It's the one that's the big one that's being recorded, see? All right. So some people, for instance, at the Youth for Christ meetings, the ones that had the biggest, worst sins, the gamblers, the drunkards, the murderers, they're the ones that gave up to give testimony. The poor little person that was saved when maybe they were 10 years old, 15, 20 years old, and not really living life of sin, they never gave the testimony because they don't have enough. See, that's what she's saying. It's just as well not to have a wicked life, you know, than to have, but God forgives all.
And I'm just grateful that I don't have, adultery in my life.
Right.
That I don't want people to think I'm perfect because I have other things that people get mad at me about.
Uh-huh.
But I don't have that. I don't have all that. Like, I haven't robbed a bank, so I don't have that.
Not yet.
I don't have that in my past.
Yeah, right. That's right.
You know?
Exactly. So.
It's grateful that God has saved me, not only from the sin that I got from Adam, but He saved me from. I think everybody knows I'm trying to.
Yes, say. Yes, that's true. We're all different types and so on. So when he left town of that land of the Gergesenes, and by the way, let's get the Gergesene map up so we can see where that is and so on. If we got our videographer up here. Gergesenes are up right in here, just to the south of the Sea of Galilee. Gergesenes right there. And so he left that city, went to the ship. Remember, he went back into the ship, it says, in verse 37. And so then it came to pass that when the people was returned, Jesus rather was returned, verse 40, the people gladly received him. They're waiting for him.
What?
Well, returned maybe from the ship, maybe out of the ship. We don't know where he, I don't know whether it states a particular location where he was, but he came out of the ship. So apparently from the Gergesenes, he went into the ship and then went somewhere out of there, Capernaum or Tiberias or some of these places there, and they when he returned to them from the ship, probably. What did those people think about? Did they want to get him to get out of the town too?
No.
They did what? They gladly received him. They're waiting for him now. They're waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ. Are people today waiting for him?
Yeah.
Some are. Are all of them?
No.
Are most of them? No. Are a few of them?
Yeah.
Yeah, a few of them are waiting. See, they're glad. They'd love to see him. It says in the book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 11, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That was in Hebrews, rather, but looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're to be looking for that blessed hope, looking for Him. And they were glad to see Him and waiting for Him. Let's read verse 41, 2, and 3 together. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought Him that He would come into his house. For he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. The woman, having an issue of blood, 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. I know those that are listening on the stream, if you want to call and give a comment, I've finally figured out what to do with my phone so I can get it on a speaker phone. See, I talk like a speaker and I can actually hear what you're saying. So you want to call 856-261-9018. We can hear what they're saying, that's right. And that won't just be a phone call. So, Wendy, if you have anything to say, or Jerry, or Charles, or any of the people, or Joe, we'd be glad to do that. All right, so verse 41, who was the one that approached him first? A lot of people waited for him, but who came first to this story?
Jairus.
All right, Jairus. What was his occupation?
Ruler.
Okay.
The top man.
The top man, wasn't he? And synagogue where they assembled, and was he a very proud, arrogant man when he came to Jesus?
No.
How do we know that?
Very humbly
fell down at his feet. Now, that's an indication of humility, isn't it? Do you fall down at the feet of someone that you don't respect?
No.
No, usually you don't, see?
No, that's
true. That's true. That's right. It's
true. That's liable to do.
Yeah.
But there's something about Jesus' feet, which is very interesting. The one woman fell down at his feet and worshipped him.
Yes. That's interesting. And the woman of the hair was tears on his feet and wiped them with the hairs of her head. So he went down to his feet. And what was his request? What was his request? In verse 41.
Wanted Jesus to come to his house.
All right, now, let me ask you this question. You don't have to answer. Do you want Jesus to come to your house? So would you like him to come? See, in other words, what does he say? Lo, I am with you. Always, even at the end of the world. Is he omnipresent, the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, he is. But will he come in your house if you don't want him? Will he come in power and in blessing into your house if you don't want him? But if you do want him, see, in fact, there's a sign on the kitchens in different places, some that people saw, the Lord Jesus is the unseen guest at every meal, at every conversation. In this house. You remember that, Bob? How's it going?
I don't know.
It's a beautiful, the unseen guest in this house. There's a big plaque on the wall. Different people have it in their home. He hears everything. He knows. And so if we want his blessing in our homes, we can say, Lord, make me able to receive you and make me fitting, see, by fellowship with thee so that it can be a good experience and so thou could bless me. He's omnipresent. He's there. But he can be there in power if we want him and request him and ask him to help us. To come to his house. Did the man give him his address, I wonder? Did the man give him his address?
I mean, you would think so.
Really? That's right. Now, do you think the Lord Jesus was in the business of coming to different people's houses?
I think
sometimes
he did.
Could he come to every house that was in the multitude there, do you think, all at once?
No,
but how did he pick the houses that he went to? Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today. Simon's house, the Pharisee. What do you think the criteria or criterion was, a singular or criteria plural? What were the criteria?
Had to be invited.
Had to be invited,
all right. Had to be needed.
Had to be needed.
It seems like there was an element of faith.
An element of faith that he could help you?
Yes.
Yes, an element of faith that he could help you. And also, remember Revelation 3, verse 20? That church of Laodicea? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. So there must be an open door, openness of the door. And so he was invited, and it's important that he was invited. So he did. Now, in verse 42, what sort of a family did he? All right, one daughter. Did they have more than one?
Yeah.
No, didn't say anything about a son, but at least they had one daughter, only one daughter. How old?
Four.
Now, was the man concerned about his daughter?
Yeah.
Should we be concerned about our children?
Yeah.
All right. Even if they're only 12?
Mm-hmm.
See, do 12-year-olds have needs?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, 10-year-olds, 9-year-olds, 15-year-olds, all of them have needs. 20-year-old, 25. But this ruler of the synagogue, now, sometimes fathers are not as interested in children as mothers are. Am I right? It shouldn't be. I mean, fathers should be just as interested in children as the mothers. But here was a father interested in his little girl. Sometimes little girls are more tender to their fathers than little boys. You know what I mean? In other words, there's a love there. I know in our family we had three sons. We had three sons. I'll get into that. We had three sons, and I never prayed for the sex of any child except before the birth of our daughter. She was sworn in the Lord after the prayer. You know, I never. Then we had Dan, who was our fourth son, but he was after the daughter. But the fathers, no. Everybody said, you know, well, she's your favorite. Well, sometimes I say that. Please, I mean, I love Diane. She's a dear little girl. She's not a little girl anymore. She's my little girl, yeah. There's a relationship. Now, a lot of times there's a bad relationship, incestuous sexual relationship, father and daughter. That's horrible. And that's more and more. It's happening all over our country. But in a right, fine way. Here was a father, leader of the synagogue, that had one little daughter. And what was her problem? 12-year-old. Dying. Now, is 12 a good age to die?
No.
No age is a good age to die.
I guess when you're really old.
I guess. Yeah. You know, when Ralph Berry came in there with his poor leg, with his cane and so on, he said, what do you say about him?
I'm too old to die.
I'm too old to die or something like
that. Yeah, that was sad.
Something else. But I forget what he said, but no age is a good age to die. But on the other hand, when it's the Lord's time, it's the way it's the time to go. It's the time to die. But she was lying there, and she was laid dying. I wonder how he knew she was dying. There's signs, aren't there, of death. Mm-hmm. Whether the color of the skin, whether the temperature, different things. She was in a bad way.
She's refusing to eat.
Yes, probably so. Remember, that's one of the last things that happened before death. The body shuts down as far as there's not a desire to eat. Someone sent us a while back from a nursing facility, hospice facility, signs of death, because they deal with a lot of dying people. And it's a nice little, it's a track form. And if you have someone that's dying, you can see these things and you'll be prepared. That's about when the body is shutting down. One of the signs is that I'm not interested in food anymore. A lot of times you want to feed them, you know, we found you. That's one of the things. So she lay dying, and we don't know what the sign was. And now, did he immediately go to the house of Jairus? Why, in verse 42?
He might have started.
Was he started? Does it say he started?
As he went. But
as he went. So he did start. What happened? Did he get there fast? People thought. Yes, Mom?
When he got word that Lazarus was sick and dying, mm-hmm. he didn't go immediately.
No.
He waited because
Why?
He had another purpose.
Why did he wait?
He wanted to die to raise him.
To raise him? How many days did he wait?
Three at least.
Isn't it four?
Yeah,
4 days? Now, let's keep your finger there in Luke. Let's see it for John. I think it's four, but maybe three. I think it's four. Now, remember, he said, Lazarus, come forth. He said, no, Lord. Now, it's been, I think, 4 days, and he stinketh. Remember the stink situation?
Yeah.
Let's look at Lazarus, chapter 11 of John. Keep your place here. Keep your place here.
Is it in John?
John, chapter 11. Yeah, the raising of Lazarus, chapter 11. let's see if we can find that there. In the grave, yes, at verse 11:17. Then he came, Jesus came, he found him, he lay in the grave 4 days already. Yeah, 4 days. So, 4 days. And that's when what we'll ask you will give thee. Now, let me see if we get the stinking part of it. I don't want to use that word too much. Okay, he stayed 2 days. Okay, so maybe that's right, in verse 6. And it was already, the total was 4 days in the grave after he died. Now, let me see, where is it? But they said, don't let him come forth here. Where have you laid him? Verse 34. Jesus wept, verse 35. And take away the stone. That's when in verse 39, Martha, the sister, said what? By this time, he stinketh. See, he had been dead 4 days. So,
isn't it something about after 3 days or something?
Yes.
He's really dead after 3 days.
Well, I know that the Jews tried to bury him immediately. They try to bury it without any embalming, the Orthodox Jews. But they usually wait 3 days in their present time, I guess,
Could he really dead or something? I don't know.
Well, I don't know the custom, but I know the custom of some funeral parlors, they usually have a funeral 3 days after the person dies, in case they'd be resurrected or maybe wouldn't die. We saw on the news this last week, a man was put in a mortuary and he wiggled around and he was alive. Oh, he wasn't dead at all. Remember, honey, was it last week? Week before. And so, you know, it's possible. Hand was moving around. I said, wait a minute.
He
was in a bag, and he had. So, you know, they got to be sure the person's
yes,
dead.
I remember now, the emergency person, you know, that...
Yeah, EMT or whatever.
Declared him dead, and he was taken to the morgue, and so that emergency person is being investigated because the man was not dead.
Yes, that'd be terrible.
And everything was so low.
Now, in verse 20-42 at the very end, how do you account for the fact that some people in the Gergesenes told him, get out of town? Chapter 8 of Luke in verse 42. The Gergesene people say, get out of town. These people thronged him. What does that mean?
Pressed in
upon him. They wanted him there, did they? They wanted to see this was a man of power. It's a different place. So different people have different reactions, am I right? Do some people throng him today? If he were here, I mean, the people who welcome him. Sometimes they throng his preachers and ministers, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. So, in verse 43, did we read that?
No.
No. Did we read that? Okay. What was the purpose of his stopping here, and what person?
A
sick woman here. What did she have? What was her disease?
Issue of blood.
And did she have much resolve with other people? What happened to her? Did somebody help her? Did he cure her?
No, she had all her money. The doctors couldn't help her.
And yet they took her money.
Right.
Now, that's right, as Ron says. I don't know, if I were a doctor and I tried to help people and it didn't work, I guess you'd help, you'd still try to help, but some conscience would say, well, maybe all the money she spent to me and it didn't help her, maybe I should give her a little bit of discount or something. This was like Jeannie's dog.
Yeah.
I mean, her transfusion. Jeannie had a dog. Joanne's sister had a dog that was dying. She took him to the vet. And the vet didn't also go on over to the University of Pennsylvania because he was the expert. He was a training teaching school. And so he gave
two transfusions. Two were blood and one was artificial blood.
Artificial blood. And then another time, steroids.
Yes, steroids.
And then he finally died anyway. The dog.
What kind of blood do you give a dog?
Oh, I don't know.
It's
dog blood.
Oh. They have a blood bank.
Blood bank for dogs. And I asked Joanne, I said, what do you think it's going to cost? And she said the neighborhood over
$2,000. Oh, I understand. It's $1,000 for each transfusion.
So three of them is $3,000. I mean, point of it is, and the dog still died. I mean, if I were that man, I would say, well, you know, maybe give a little discount because the dog died. I couldn't help him.
I think I would think it over.
Well, when I took my cat there, they said it was going to cost me $500 for the cat. He was 20 years old. And my mother said to me, now, Joanne, he's lived a long life. But I mean, you have to feel sometimes that you did all that you could do.
Yes.
And in that case, it did cost me $500.
Oh, you went ahead and did it.
Yes.
You didn't take your mother's advice.
No, and I was crying, and I, you know, and I said I had to do what I thought was right, and the cat lived.
That's good. So you had a good turnout.
Yeah, and I mean, and he lived after that for a year.
Uh-huh.
So and I had a year to prepare myself that cat was old and that he was going to die.
Yeah.
So he was 21 years old when he died.
Uh-huh.
But when you had a cat, you know. My husband and I had gotten him when we first got married.
Yeah.
So he was like
our baby.
Yeah. You know,
well, he had a cat 5 years or something and he died. But
yeah.
I didn't have any money for it. I didn't think we had money for it back then.
I think the cat just went out and died somewhere.
What happened was that she was sick.
Oh.
I put her up.
Well, I mean, I couldn't give them the $500. I gave them $100 a month.
Oh, I see. Yeah. That's all you can do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so these physicians, regardless of what they were, I don't know what you paid, but...
I cried, though.
Yes. Yeah, was that...
Tiger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We got so many cats. My daughter, Diane, loves cats. She's just cat after cat after cat, so...
Tell about how we got Tiger. Do you remember?
Oh, in answer to prayer.
Oh, no.
See, I was over there as the pastor of Faith Baptist Church in Newton, Massachusetts. And little Diane, she was 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 6 years old. Was she? I don't know how old she was. And she wanted a cat. I didn't want any cats in that house. So she prayed for a cat. And a friend of ours, who was a friend of ours at that time, heard about her prayer and answered it and gave her a cat.
She said, I don't want her to know God answered her prayer.
So,
and she gave a cat, so what could her father say?
What could her father say?
So, and that's what she said to him. What can her father say?
Yes.
I wanted to know if God answers prayer.
So there I was.
And it's so nice, because now Diana is a prayer person.
Yes, she is. She plays in
prayer. Maybe that's why. So the cat was, we love that cat, and had lots of kittens and everything. Then we moved here, and Miss Booth had like a 80 or 100 cats.
80 or 100 cats right across the street.
She got caught some disease from those cats.
Yeah,
Diana. I guess I was cruel. I didn't think we had money for cats. See, I wasn't brought up.
Cat foolish instead of cat wise.
Well, we had cats and dogs, but they weren't like the children. They were animals.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think most cats are animals.
Well, now I guess.
Yeah.
A whole different view.
So let me ask you this question, getting back to the woman here in verse 43. How much do you think she had as far as her living?
She spent all her living.
She had nothing now.
Nothing now? What do you think she had before she spent it all?
Well, she was sick 12 years, I think.
12 years, so she must have a lot of money to be able to get paid for 12 years.
All right. Now, do some people spend money on some things, some on others? Does everybody spend their money on the same things?
No. You spend money on yourself.
All right, you try to get healed. Different people want different things, am I right?
Oh, I know. Yeah,
Emma?
I was thinking of a lady. I was going to give her some of the book, couldn't she? She ever came back here? She never came back.
Yeah.
She's really suffering, and they don't have much money. I think they're on welfare. But I was thinking if that husband had the same pain as that wife, I think that he would buy something for the pain. Mm-hmm. I mean, like Glucosamine,
which is very
good. I was thinking of that when I was making the bet the other day and wondering if Sally was ever going to come back.
Yeah.
Because she was suffering. You can tell she's suffering, and she's younger than I am.
Uh-huh.
But that's the way that sometimes when it's someone else suffering, you don't. But when it's yourself suffering, then you'll pay anything.
Right. I don't know how wealthy she was, but she spent all her living and couldn't be healed anyway. All right, now, what did this woman do? Let's read 44, 45, 46. Came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately the issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touches thee?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." Right in verse 44, what did this girl do with the issue of blood when she came to Jesus in verse 44?
She touched him.
She touched him. Where did she go to see him? She went behind him, didn't come to the front. And what part of him?
She went and had her feet washed, I'm sure.
Yes, she came up behind him, that's right, and washed his feet that way. What part of him did she touch? That's the garment, okay? One garment? No, she didn't. And what part of the garment?
Border.
So it could be a side border, bottom border, whatever. And wonder why she did that.
She believed
it could be healed. He was the healer. He could do it. He'd taken these devils out of this man. She'd heard, I'm sure, of his reputation. And so she did. She had the faith to believe. What happened when she touched the hem of his garment?
She was healed.
He was healed. The blood... issue about stanched. What does stanched mean?
Stop.
And so, it does a little bit, but the stanched means to stop. And so that's what that happened. So then, what did Jesus say? Did he know that she had touched him?
Yes.
He asked the question. Did Peter know that someone had touched him? What was Peter's reaction?
A lot of people around there.
Was Peter sympathetic, do you think, to the Lord's question?
No, typical Peter.
Typical Peter, I mean, he's almost argumentative, right? I mean, almost.
Like the rest of us,
yeah.
What do you mean, who touched you?
Exactly. Exactly. So, the multitude thronged him, Master. And then he said, and sayest thou? See, he questioned the Lord's question. The Lord Jesus, how did he know someone touched his garment? If it was a flowing garment, if somebody came up and touched the border of my coat, just touched it, would I necessarily know he touched it if I were a person like myself?
No.
No, I mean, it's just if I was just a regular person, but was the Lord Jesus just a person like myself? He was a deity, perfect God, perfect man, so he knew by omniscience, didn't he? All knowing.
He sensed it.
He sensed it. The power going out. That's right. Like we see later. So he knew who touched him. And then in verse 46 is the answer. He was sure somebody touched him. What does this word virtue mean? Well, that normally what that means is virtue is goodness. Well, what else does that mean?
It says the R in our Bible.
Well, it says power to heal or strengthen.
Power to heal or strengthen. See, it's this power.
Moral
virtue.
Excellence.
Yes, moral excellence is one of the meanings of virtue. But also...
merit, valor, effective power, or force, especially power to heal or strengthen.
Yes, so you see, that's all part of this word virtue. See? And so that's probably why they call a hospital virtue a hospital.
Okay.
It's a healing. A virtue. It's a Latin word, and so it's good to King James, but it changes meaning a little bit here. But he realized that power, virtue, had gone out of him. And then, did we stop there? Let me go to 47, 48, and 49 here. 47. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. By verse 47. What did the woman do, and when did she do it? And why did she do it? She confessed that she touched. She, because the question, do you suppose she heard him ask the question? Who touches me? She was right there. She knew. For a while, she was quiet. She let Peter mouth off his normal mouthing off, you know, like the rest of us. But then she finally, when she saw it was not hit, he knew someone touched her. So then what did she do? Where did she go? In verse 47. How did she go about?
She fell down before him.
She came trembling. That indicates her spirit. Her attitude, her emotion, was that trembling of joy, trembling of fear, trembling of sorrow? What type of trembling do you think it is? There's different trembling for different things, isn't it right?
Fear. She was afraid.
Maybe fear. What's he going to do to me?
Because of the...
What is it, Brad?
Yeah, it could be because, you know, she knew she had done something.
Maybe.
And she was afraid it may be upset or something. Like
yes.
That, so she was afraid.
That could be. That could be that there was a threat there. Otherwise, it could be trembling of joy. Maybe she was so glad and she was so happy that the flow of blood had stopped and she was healed. But regardless, she came trembling. And then what did she do when she came before, behind him or in front of him?
Fell down before him
and did what?
Told all the people.
Why? In other words, and how she was healed. She told the story, didn't she? She told the right story as well what happened to her. She was healed immediately. Now, does the Lord always heal immediately?
Yeah.
Well, now you see, the lepers that were cleansed, the nine lepers, or ten lepers altogether, the one came back. Sometimes it's as they went, they were healed. Not immediately, but as they went. What did he do in the Old Testament in the book of 2 Kings with the man who was a ruler? What was his name? The leper.
Naaman?
Naaman, the leper. What? How did the Lord deal with him and his healing?
Told him to go to the river and bathe in it.
Go to the special river.
Seven times.
Go to the Jordan River. And he says, why go to the Jordan River? That's a filthy, dirty river.
Yes.
I've got clean rivers back
where
I came from.
Exactly.
Why?
Exactly. So the Lord was very permanent. He had to go to the special river and dip seven times. Right? Seven times, I think, wasn't it?
I think it was.
Seven times. And that word dip is baptism. Baptism. So it's dipping. That's where we get baptism of immersion. See, put my first train here, but that's all right. Just had to get that one. No, but see, sometimes the Lord waits and has certain things to do before he heals. See, that's like in Naaman's case, in this case. But this case, it was instantaneous, immediate healing. Now, once we trust the Lord Jesus and are born again, is that a long, drawn-out period, or is that salvation immediate?
Immediate.
It's immediate. Some people teach that salvation is a long, drawn-out process. You have to sort of work into a Christian life and be a Christian after a long, long thing. No, it's instantaneous. When you get physical life, there's life, and that's why the life in the mother's womb, there's life, and that's why to kill that baby is like murder. And it's a terrible, because life begins, and there it is. And so is spiritual life, instantaneous. So immediately he healed her. And then what did the Lord say to her to ease her trembling in verse 48? if she was afraid of
him.
Be a good comfort. By faith and faith, we'll go in peace. So be comforted, don't worry, and the faith to believe. If the woman had not had faith, would she have touched the hem of his garment?
No.
See, that would be foolish, wouldn't it? We see in the television some of this man, Dr. Love or somebody, who was it? A guy over in some of the country who was healing all kinds of people. What was that man?
Oh, that was Brother John.
Brother John or something.
Dr. John.
Or something.
On
the television. 2020, yeah, you saw that song. Uh-huh. Healing different people and different things that you don't know.
Dr. John or Brother John.
If you don't have faith that the dentist can fill your tooth, I think it was in Brazil, yeah, if you can't have faith that the dentist can fill your tooth and make that ache go away or whatever, you won't go to the dentist, all right? I mean, any physician, you go where you think that there's help, and that's what you do. So.
But the only thing that was good about that is that they said on the TV that the doctors today are going to check that maybe there is more than to healing than just what they know, their knowledge. They have to acknowledge that there is God and that He's going to make us.
Yes.
Oh,
yes, for spiritual. And, you know, I don't know all the details of it, but it was big enough that the 2020, was it, or whatever, made a great big program all over the country.
The man never learned
that
his shoulder got better.
I know. He said this didn't get better.
Oh, I didn't
know. Really? Oh, is that right? He didn't get better, but he didn't do what he was supposed to do.
Yeah.
And I also don't think he had any faith.
No, that's probably, yeah.
But, you know, you have to, you know,
his name is John of God.
That's what it is, yeah.
Who is John of God? That's his name, John of God. See,
he's a farmer. And
he's a farmer, not a doctor.
Spirits of other doctors get in him, and he doesn't remember what he does.
So I'm sure that the Satanism is all part into that, see, because Satan's got, I wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole, but anyway, it's interesting that the world is interested in all this type of thing.
You know, I think it makes you want to go away from all the hustle and bustle and confusion of life and wear that white sheet thing, that their white thing, and just go like a retreat or something, not to be healed, but just to get away from all the criticism and everything and just be in Tahiti or something with the tsunami, I guess.
We've had people I've known in our church on here that the doctors could not explain in their wisdom what happened to some people because of prayer and God does intervene.
Yes.
That kind of showmanship is, as far as I'm concerned, a bunch of quacks. But
as far as
God does intervene in people's lives, and the doctors don't know why somebody lives and gets well in here when they say that it's not possible. So God does not do it as a showmanship today. No. He does it very quietly on individuals.
In
many churches and individuals get prayed for, and God does see fit to intervene.
That's a good prayer.
So, I mean, that's what happened to me as a child.
Really?
I mean, I was 4 years old, and the doctors told my parents, my appendix had burst, and we're sorry. Your little girl is going to die. There's nothing we can do for her. And my mother prayed, the church prayed, and she said to me, you know, pray to Jesus to make you better. But I was a bad girl, and I said no. And I was in the hospital a long time, but when I prayed, Jesus made me well.
Praise the Lord.
Why did you say no to Jesus? Then that's great.
Because I wasn't saved yet.
Well, that's good. So we're going to stop right here, verse 48. We have a lot of daughters that need to be good comfort, and men and sons as well. I faith that may they go in peace. But do you have any other comments before we close today?
Well, you notice one thing again. Jesus did not, Jairus, who was the head of, you know, of that synagogue, when he spoke, everybody jumped right to those days on here.
Yeah.
And Jesus then stopped to take care of this, and stopping by the time that was done, was told that the daughter had died.
Yes.
So again, I think Christ delayed on here so that the glory of God could be shown in this thing.
Yes.
So this happens a number of times.
Yes.
He delayed a reason for doing
that's
it.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah, Bob?
If he wanted to, he could have healed him just
because Seth spoke the word.
But I don't think in this passage, maybe it is, but the little girl was 12, and in some passages, it's not this one, she had this problem for 12 years. So her ailment started when that little girl was
Yeah, that's what someone said. The woman with the issue of blood had 12 years, and this is a 12-year-old girl, so it could be started at the same time. Yes, any other kind of...
Yeah,
could be, because there's the same part of the country, they're still there again. Any other comments before we close? All right, let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee for a Savior that is able to look into our hearts and see our needs and can heal us when we need healings for spirit, for soul, for body. We thank Thee for a Savior that loved us and died for us, cared for this woman with the issue of blood, cared for Jairus and the little girl, 12-year-old, cares for all the little girls and little boys of this world, as well as the big boys and big girls like we are here today. We ask Thee for Thy guidance and direction and blessing this week. Guide and direct us as a people, each family represented here and listening to us on the streaming videos and in their homes. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Good to see y'all, and we'll...